So where does immigration reform go now after four different bills failed to get enough votes in the Senate yesterday, just weeks before a program to extend deportation protections for young immigrants expires, and as lawmakers go on recess until the end of February, and after the horrific Florida shooting, President Trump called for more attention to mental illness. But last year, he revoked an Obama rule that would have expanded the number of people with mental illness banned from legally buying guns. Will any kind of restrictions on guns pass?
Let's bring in our Friday roundtable to discuss that and more. And joining us today, Tolu Olorunipa, White House reporter for Bloomberg News. Hi, Tolu.
Hi there.
And Rick Klein, political director for ABC News. Hi, Rick.
Great to be with you.
So on CNN yesterday, Lori Alhadeff made this appeal to President Trump about her daughter, Alyssa, who is being buried today.
I just spent the last 2 hours putting the burial arrangements for my daughter's funeral, who's 14. President Trump, please do something. Do something. Action! We need it now. These kids need safety now.
Rick, is there any sense that something will happen this time?
Well, the emotion is just so raw in the immediate aftermath. And I think anyone with a stake, which really everyone in the country has, you know, children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, people they know, it's such a heart-wrenching issue because I think at bottom, there's almost a resignation around the political paralysis here. There are things that could be done. And I think the quick focus on mental health that you hear primarily from President Trump and the Republican side, there's certainly things you can do in tightening background checks and the like. But in terms of wholesale gun legislation, gun control, controls, assault weapons bans, universal background checks, things like that, it just doesn't seem like there's any change. And it would take the president, frankly, flipping on a good portion of his base to take this on. And I think that's possible. But I don't know many people that are holding their breath to see that kind of a major change.
Well, might others start to do it incrementally? Now, we should say we don't know the confessed shooter's timeline. He bought his A-15 rifle legally last year, even though there were tons of questions about his mental stability, 911 calls from his home, concern in his school. Florida's Republican Governor Rick Scott says everything is now on the table. So, Tolu, I mean, do you think there's a chance that Florida might go the way of Connecticut and four other states and enact laws allowing anyone to petition a judge if they feel someone should have a temporary restraining order taking away their gun for a year? This is what some states have done. Might people like Rick Scott say enough is enough?
Well, I covered Rick Scott in Tallahassee, my home city, for a couple of years, and the Florida legislature is notorious for being very friendly to the NRA and to the gun rights crowd. I highly doubt that they're going to do anything to restrict what many members of the legislature believe are the Second Amendment rights of the citizens of Florida. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like this is sort of a pre-written script that we're going to go along, or there's going to be thoughts and prayers. Politicians are going to say, you know, we're going to look into mental health. And then even on mental health, they're likely not to do anything. We had this happen with Las Vegas with the issue of bump stocks. And, you know, people said we're going to look into bump stocks and maybe have some legislation to at least make sure that these semi-automatic rifles are not sort of refashioned into automatic rifles. And that sort of faded away very quickly. So I imagine the same thing will happen both at the state level and here in Washington at the federal level.
Well, and how much of this, Rick, is about the NRA and how much power they have? There have been lists going around on social media of the senators who get the most money from the NRA, I believe John McCain is right at the top of that list.
Yeah, and I think it's a major factor, and I don't want to underplay that, but I actually think it's in some ways overstated. If there was a counterweight to the NRA, if there was another group that could come at this and say, look, you will suffer electoral consequences if you support gun rights or you don't support common sense gun solutions, then I think you start to see the power fade away. It really is, even though you'll see it in polling that people support background checks, they support bans on things like bump stocks, they support all sorts of gun reforms, gun restrictions, assault weapons bans, they don't vote that way. And until or unless it's a voting issue, the same as it is on the right with the power of the NRA and gun owners and Second Amendment advocates, I don't think you're going to see changes in behavior. So I don't think it's purely about the money that's showered by the NRA. I really think it's about elevating this into an issue that not just one that we watch and care so deeply about when we see it on TV in the aftermath of a shooting, but something that actually motivates voters and punishes lawmakers who don't vote in a particular way.
Well, I don't know. It's getting awfully nasty. House Speaker Paul Ryan, of course, the Republican, said, look, there's legislation passed sitting here. And then the Democratic Congressman Seth Moulton tweeted out, How many more innocent kids have to die before you find the political courage to do anything to stop this carnage, Speaker Ryan? Should I just ask the NRA when they plan to stop paying you to do nothing? He also tweeted to the president after President Trump said we should do more about mental illness and didn't mention guns. Seth Moulton again tweeted, I agree with everything President Trump said. I invite him to get off his ass and help me do something about it. And then we hear the mother screaming. We hear students who were in that carnage coming forward and saying, hey, Tolu, you say nothing's going to change. People feel this might be a moment.
Well, I will definitely say that the students, their voice being added to this this tragedy is something that's new and a little bit different than some of the previous massacres that we've seen. We're hearing from teenagers telling adults that they should do something, that they want to feel safe in their classrooms and in their schools, and that the adults need to do something. There's someone who was a teenager who can't even buy alcohol legally, who was able to buy this assault rifle and was able to use it to massacre so many of his former classmates. That's something that is a bit different from what we've seen in the past. But when you just start to listen to what a lot of the lawmakers are saying, it does seem very similar to what we've heard in the past. Thoughts and prayers. We're going to look into mental health. You can't pass a law to prevent pure evil from happening. Those are the types of lines that we've seen in the past, and it's usually followed by inaction. So that's why I'm a little bit skeptical that this will be different. But it is very telling that now we're hearing from children that they're telling adults to step up and take action.
Well, speaking of inaction, let's talk about immigration. This week was supposed to be a week in which senators were able to come together on a bill that would, at the very least, protect the Dreamers from deportation. Let's listen to Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer, who said this about President Trump.
There's only one reason why the Senate will be unable to reach a bipartisan solution to DACA: President Trump.
Rick, is that fair? And is anything going to happen before the March 5th deadline for the Dreamers?
What is fair is that President Trump set this deadline of March 5th to end the DACA program. What's also fair is that he said publicly that he would take any bipartisan solution and sign it. What's also then happened is that he issued several veto threats. And then when they had the free-for-all on the floor of the Senate, President Trump's proposal got 39 votes. That's despite the fact there were 51 Republicans in the Senate. There were several bipartisan proposals, including Senator Schumer's, that got 50-plus votes. They were blocked primarily by Republicans. All of those are the facts. Now, the president has turned this around and said it's Schumer and the Democrats who are blocking this, and they don't care about the Dreamers. That does not jive with the reality here. The president had opportunities here and continues to have opportunities to cut a deal on immigration, protect the Dreamers, even get some funding for his wall. That has been publicly offered by Senator Schumer and others. He's not doing it, and it's really left on him as to what he wants to do. Does he want to go through with his March 5th deadline, or does he want to cut a deal, even though that means a deal that doesn't get everything he wants, that may offend a good portion of his base?
Well, meanwhile, it seems as if the Trump administration is, on the other hand, getting a lot of things done. Immigration has definitely taken the oxygen in the room. But you just glance through the headlines from the paper today. The EPA under President Trump is collecting roughly half as many civil penalties from polluters as the past three presidencies. The House passed changes to the Americans with Disabilities Act, making it harder to sue businesses who don't comply with ramps and equal access issues. White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney acknowledged that the $1.5 trillion tax cuts that Congress passed last year will not pay for themselves. Tolu, it seems kind of hard to keep up.
Yeah, there is definitely a lot going on. And on the regulation front, this administration is doing a lot. They're doing a lot with the executive orders and the executive power that the president has, that he doesn't necessarily need to work with Congress to roll back a lot of regulations. It's been clear that, with a very slim majority in the Senate on things like immigration and other major issues aside from the tax bill, it's been difficult for them to get things through the Congress. But when it comes to using his pen to, write out new regulations or roll back regulations and sort of use prosecutorial discretion when it comes to going after, big banks and companies, the president is really forging ahead with his agenda. And it's often gets left behind with all the headlines and all the drama going on in Congress. But this is definitely an administration that's doing a lot, and especially on the regulation front.
Okay, we have time for one more thing. I'll just let him tell you right here. You'll probably recognize this voice.
Utah has a lot to teach the politicians in Washington. Utah welcomes legal immigrants from around the world. Washington sends immigrants a message of exclusion. And on Utah's Capitol Hill, people treat one another with respect.
Mitt Romney there announcing his senatorial campaign in Utah. Rick, that sounded like it was pointed at President Trump.
No.
Perish the thought. I'm old enough to remember when Democrats sued in Massachusetts to say he was actually a resident of Utah and not of Massachusetts.
Right?
He couldn't run there. But no, this is striking. And he will occupy a unique space. No one has quite come to the Senate like this. I talked to one advisor who said he might be like the John Quincy Adams of the Senate in the 21st century. It will be an intriguing position. I think that was intended as a shot at President Trump, even though Mitt Romney didn't mention his name.
Rick Klein, political director for ABC News. We've also been speaking with Tolu Olorunipa, White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.